Seeking the Lord's blessing, let's turn together to Exodus chapter 19 as we read together, and we'll read some of verses 14 and part of verse 15. Exodus chapter 19 at verse 14. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, "Be ready. Be ready." We find ourselves, of course, as we've already spoken of on many occasions, and as occasions, and it's known to us daily now and even hourly, that we find ourselves in this situation of our own isolation. And we've been called as a people by our governments to isolate ourselves, and that this is a precautionary manner in which we are following this legislation. It is preventative, trying in some way or another to manage the virus that is going on around us as a people and throughout the countries of the world. And we're told to stay at home. And this is the number one instruction for us. Stay at home. And those in government and those who are looking at the science of all that is going on are trying to manage a curve, manage a situation. And they've declared that the best thing for us to do is to isolate and to keep ourselves in that safe place of our own homes. And our own homes become these places that are so familiar to us, a place that we know so well, and we've given ourselves to keep our homes and to decorate our homes and to look after our homes. But even though the home and the situation is in many ways familiar, the reality of our isolation is not. That this is something that is unknown in living memory. And we find ourselves, even when we come to stay in our homes rather than go out to our workplaces, that we're trying to manage our time. And we're trying to manage our productivity. And wondering how we are able or not to fulfill the tasks that we would like normally to do. And we understand how inhibited we are. And maybe we find it difficult to work from home. We find it difficult to motivate ourselves. And we're trying to encourage ourselves not to waste the time, but to make use of the time. The Bible speaks very clearly of this. Paul speaks in the New Testament of redeeming time, ensuring its value, ensuring that we don't waste it. And we all know what it's like to waste time and even to waste opportunities. And I believe that today we stand in this unprecedented situation in our own lifetime where we are under lockdown, but where God is giving to us in equal measure an unprecedented opportunity and an encouragement not to waste our time. And so for the Christian, there is a different mindset and a different worldview, that we are called to look at everything that goes on in life in the reality of God's purpose. Even as Paul tells us that everything works together for good, even situations we don't expect and maybe we'd rather not have. And we find ourselves looking through the perspective of the Christian worldview and looking to understand the way that God wants us to redeem each day and each moment and each situation. And to be asking ourselves in our own soul, what is it God wants me to do? What is it God wants me to engage in with respect to this time of isolation and lockdown? How does he want me to spend this time? What is the opportunity in the thing? What is it that's good for my soul here? What does God want me to learn? And so there is the whole issue of spiritual productivity, to engage ourselves in having a quality time and making use of the opportunity, not letting it go. And now we find ourselves in these unique situations where so much of life has been busy and distracting, and we've been constantly under pressure, and there has never been enough hours in a day or days in a week, and we're trying to cram everything in. And now the bustle and the hustle has stopped. And we're at home, and we have opportunity, and we have time. A time away from the busyness, a time away from the distractions, a time away with those who we live with in our own homes, the significant and important relationships in our lives we can spend together, we can value one another, we can appreciate one another. But most of all, of course, there is one relationship that is more important than any other, and that is our relationship with God, where God is calling us to invest our time and this opportunity with what is good for our soul, what is good for us. And maybe it is that God is inviting us to come and spend that time with Him, to be isolated in that way, to be set apart, to invest ourselves in the most significant and valuable relationship we have, and what is good for our spiritual lives. So we turn to chapter 19 of Exodus. This is, of course, a significant chapter where Israel have reached Sinai, and the people are there and Moses with them. And in chapter 20, they're going to receive the Ten Commandments, and thereafter they're going to receive the law. And what chapter 19 is this chapter that is preparing the people, preparing them for the revelation of God, preparing them to meet with God. And I want us to think in these terms today, and here, first of all, in this service, from chapter 19 of Exodus, and to think, first of all, of the call to reflect. And recorded for them is their own recent history. And in verse 4 of chapter 19, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. I bore you on eagle's wings. I brought you to myself. He has taken them apart to himself. And he says in verse 5, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession. And he speaks this language to them, the language of shelter and care, the language of protection, the language of redemption and salvation, and the language, of course, of possession. They are his people, and he has brought them to himself. And he is recording this history in Egypt to remind them of their cry for help, of the misery of their condition in that bondage in Egypt, and the great reality of his redeeming mercy, going out to meet them, of saving them. He tells them there in verse 4, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how he sent plagues to them, how he did mighty acts, how he brought the Passover night, where there was a lament and a cry in Egypt that was unprecedented, and how he saved this people, and how he brought them through the Red Sea, and how he consumed their enemy in the judgment of the Red Sea, and he brought them through. And he brought them into this wilderness, and he brought them to this place, and he brought them to himself. To remind them of his kindness, of his love, of his care, of the evidence of the reality of who he is to them, their salvation and their hope, and what they are to him, his treasured possession. This is a familiar chapter to us too, in terms of our own personal readings, but also in terms of our own reading as a congregation. How we began this year on the 1st of January 2020 in this chapter. How we recorded what these words say in verses 1 to 6 and the reality of reflecting on God's goodness and looking forward with optimism to the forthcoming year. Speaking of resolutions and ambitions and the desire to walk with the Lord in the reality of his care and love. And in such a short time, that whole world has changed. And our lives are different. But the call of the chapter remains the same. To walk in faith. To be responsiveness. To have this responsiveness in our own spiritual lives. To all that the Lord requires of us. To be his treasured people. To be his holy nation. To be the people of God, motivated by the reality of his goodness and his care and his sheltering love and his salvation. And to think that wherever we are and whatever goes on in our situation, we have this unique experience of the closeness of God, of what worship is. Of drawing near to our Lord, of coming to him. And our lockdown cannot inhibit our relationship with God. It cannot keep God out. He is with us. This is for a purpose. This is for a time and a season. And as we come to Sinai, we come to see the climax of the Exodus. The children of Israel don't reach Canaan in Exodus. That's far later on. But they come here to this mountain, to this place, to this experience. Even as we find the revelation that Moses himself receives in the wilderness in this call, in that God speaking to him from the burning bush. God says to him, I'm going to take you to this mountain. This is God's purpose for his people, to bring them here, to meet with him, and a people now who are at liberty, who have found freedom, and that freedom means they are set apart, that they're a different people, and they've come to this very moment on this mountain, to this unique time and this unique place to meet with their God, to meet with him in these moments. To be set apart in this very place. And we find ourselves in a similar vein. Free and set apart. And coming to a specific time and place with its own unique opportunity that has been known to God from always. Nothing outside God's knowledge or God's care for us. Here is Moses setting limits for the people, setting limits of who they are and where they are. And the call that he engages in here from verse 10 onwards is the call to prepare themselves, to be purposeful in this way, to apply themselves to the priority of what is going on, that they are not to misuse this time. And all that it is engaged in at Mount Sinai. But they are being called and prepared to meet with God. Set apart for this. Of the isolation from others. But to meet with him. They're to come to contemplate. One of the commentators speaks of the Mount Sinai experience as the most important event in the Exodus. And then he goes on to say, in the whole Old Testament. The most important event in the whole Old Testament. There they are brought to the revelation of the law. There they are brought to the revelation of what worship looks like. There they are brought to meet with God. And on their part in this, there is the call to holiness and obedience. In verse 17, Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. This is a specific time and place. This is different to anything they had ever experienced, anything that they had ever encountered, and they had encountered many things. But there was nothing like this experience. It's Moses himself that's going up to the mount. He's going up to meet God in that particular way fitted for his calling. But they themselves too have this experience in verse 17. They are going out of the camp to meet God. Not just that they've gone out of Egypt. Not just that they've crossed the Red Sea. Not just that they've come to Mount Sinai. But they've actually come outside the camp. They're isolating themselves in all of these different ways. They are consecrated in this way, in order for this specific purpose. Coming away from the ordinary, coming away from the mundane, coming away from the day-to-day, the week-to-week, to come to this unique experience that is completely different, where they are called to be devoted to God. And this word keeps coming up. This word of separation, consecration. And it's all the same word. It means the same word as the word holy. And we are called to holiness because God is holy. And we cannot come to Him unless we ourselves are a holy people, a set apart people, a consecrated people, in order to draw near. And we need faith to do this. We cannot please God without faith. We are to engage ourselves. We are to set ourselves apart. We are to sanctify our lives, our time. We have to move beyond the general isolation. And many of the general public will make some use of this time, and some waste this time. We are to use this time and this opportunity in a particular way, in the way that God wants us to learn. And to meet with Him. And to engage with Him. Moses tells them in verse 14. That they're to wash their garments. They are to be clean. And on many occasions we've come to these directives, especially in the law, that calls for being clean and being washed. And often they've puzzled us. But in these last few weeks, we have a deeper understanding of them. From the highest office in our land, we're told to wash our hands. Wash our hands. Wash our hands. And there are times before this we knew to wash our hands because there was something on our hands. And we understood that we had to clean our hands and to visibly take that dirt or whatever mark it was off. Now our hands look clean. But we're told to keep washing them because there is something invisible that is possibly on our hands. And the danger that we have is that with this invisible thing, we can infect others. We can cause pollution and harm. We can transmit what is unclean. And this is the point of what we find in this cleansing in the law. Of the danger of transmitting what is ritually unclean, what is of our own unrighteousness, what is hostile to the holy, that we cannot put unclean hands on what is holy. The reality of the pollution of our own unrighteousness, of our own reality of our uncleanliness, the reality of our own filth and pollution, of what is invisible of our sin. And our shortcoming and our transgression. He calls them to be clean. And he tells them in verse 15, be ready. Be ready for what's about to happen. And therein he's telling them to prepare inwardly too. That it's not enough just to prepare themselves in that external manner, just to wash their clothes. He's calling them to do more, to engage more in this. And that's what we're called to do too. It's not enough just to be physically present in this situation we find ourselves in. We need to be more than externally prepared through this time and opportunity. It's not enough. We have to go deeper. We have to engage the activity of our soul and our minds and our hearts. This is what God is meaning for our good. When He is calling ourselves, He is calling us in our minds. This is a difficult thing for us. We find it so easy to distract ourselves, so easy to waste time, spend all our day on our phones and at our screens. And yet the reality is this unique opportunity calls us to utilize this for more. That we're being given time we didn't have and we cried out for. But the question is, what are we going to do with it? What is the priority? Is it simply to get through this? Or is it that there would be good for the soul? A benefit. And so we've been called to consecrate ourselves in spiritual discipline. To be deliberate with what we do. Each day. Each morning. All that we are. What is it we're giving our time to? What is influencing our minds and shaping our thinking? What voices are we hearing? What's the first thing we pick up in the morning? What's the first voice we're listening to every day? What is defining that day for us? And so easily, it's our phones. It's the news. It's the media. It's the word that is going on around the world. Can it not be the word from heaven? Can we not hear from God first? Can we not set our days by Him and by what God in heaven is saying to us? Can we not allow that to shape everything else we hear for the rest of the day? Of course, we need to hear the news. But what is it we are feeding our minds with? Have we got the right balance? Is God first? Are we understanding everything through the reality of what God has said? That God is sovereign and He knows all things and He holds all things. Are we allowing ourselves to be defeated by our fear? Or are we putting our trust and hope in Him? Are we feeding our minds with the truth of His word? Thirdly, as we've considered together here, the reflection, the contemplation. Thirdly, the listening. What is the desire of this experience? What is the desire here of taking them to Mount Sinai? What is the desire of taking them out of Egypt? It's to come closer. What is the design for the Christian in these moments of lockdown and isolation? It's for a deeper walk, a greater closeness. Verse 17, Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. This is what the answer of what he's saying in verse 15. Be ready. Be ready for what? Be ready to meet with God. And to stop underestimating who He is. We find in verse 12. Set limits for the people. Take care not to go up into the mountain to touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. there needs to be a holy reverence and a holy fear. There needs to be a respect and recognition of what is greater than we even understand. And for us not to transgress these boundaries and what is beyond us, but to see that in the reality of our experience of the holiness of God, obedience is necessary. He is calling us to Himself, to listen and to obey, to live for what is greater, to recognize who He is. He says to us in verse 15, be ready. Am I ready? Are you ready to meet with this God? Have you prepared yourself for this? Have you set yourself apart? Have you consecrated yourself? Have you contemplated on His goodness and kindness? Have you reflected upon the reality of who He is and what it is He wants us to do and what He wants us to be? In verse 16, we find there, on the third day, thunder, lightning, thick cloud, very loud trumpet. Verse 18, Mount Sinai wrapped in smoke. The Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln. The whole mountain trembled greatly, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. And God spoke to Moses in thunder. The reality of who God is, the sights and the sounds that they were called to prepare themselves for, was to experience something that was completely different. In the reality of what God is like, this mighty storm of God coming and the thunder and the lightning and the fire and the loud, mighty trumpet sounds, symbolizing to the people of who this God is, the all-powerful, all-sovereign, all-majestic Creator, coming to them in order that they would have this life-changing experience of what it means to meet with God in this intimacy, in this isolation, in this opportunity to listen, to obey, to hear the great invitation that comes to us for our good. Last week we considered together in the book of Revelation of John on the island of Patmos, isolated. The question really last week was, what do we do with the Lord's day when we're inhibited, when we're in lockdown, when we're exiled? The question really today goes further than one day. What are we to do with the uniqueness of this opportunity? Here, if we are ready, we could have a life-changing experience. We could really meet with God in a greater and deeper way. And I urge you, and I urge myself, not to waste this, but to come close, to come to Him. Amen. May the Lord bless our thoughts together. Let's just close with a word of prayer. We bless and praise You, Lord, for Your goodness to us, for the great examples we have in Your word of those who had committed and consecrated themselves to that life of holiness, like Moses who went up on the mountain. Help us, Lord, to experience what is greater and better, to know Your care and Your love and Your benevolence. Forgive us our sins, we pray, and how we spend so much time wasted. Help us rather to prioritize what is important not to neglect things, but most of all not to neglect our life-changing experiences with you. May we hunger and thirst after righteousness. May we long for you. May we know you. May you bless us and forgive us. All we ask is in Jesus' name.